Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to keep going on the series concerning the age of the earth. And let's just jump right in. If you believe that the earth is millions of years old and that somehow humanity got here through incremental upgrades via mutations and natural selection, right? We have the genetic code, and a mutation happens, and that mutation just happens to be a good one, and so the animal or organism, whatever it is, has a little bit of a survival advantage, so it lives a little bit longer, and it reproduces more of itself, and thus it becomes kind of the dominant animal amongst its ancestry, and it kind of moves on, and its ancestry kind of die off a little bit. And then another mutation happens, and the same thing happens over and over and over, over millions of years. And pretty soon we go from fish to amphibians, and then the amphibians evolve into reptiles, and then the reptiles evolve into mammals, you know, the old farm. Well, if that happened, then somewhere along the line, there was this couple, and they were named Ugh and Olog, and Ugh and Olog had children. I'm sorry, guys. You know, I'm a goof sometimes, but they had children, and those children were Adam and Eve. And then Adam and Eve, they had it. I mean, they had what it took. They were human. And then that's where the human race started. Well, what about this? In Mark chapter 10, verse 6, Jesus says, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And what is being taught here is that God is saying, from the very beginning of creation, humans, I mean, he's not talking about anything else here, he made them male and female. So this places humanity, male and female humanity, Adam and Eve, if you will, at the very beginning. And that totally screws up the millions of years where the fish, amphibians, reptiles, and mammals evolved. You see what I'm saying? Yes, my goofy little Ugh and Olog story might have been a straw man to some positions. I understand that. But I'm trying to make a point that Jesus himself believed and taught, and he should know, he was there, after all, he created the heavens and the earth, he taught that male and female humanity was from the very beginning. Another interesting scripture to look at here, Mark chapter 13, verse 19. Now, Jesus is talking here, and he's actually talking about the end of days, okay? But he makes this comment. He says, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Now, I understand it's King James English, and you're kind of going, what? Okay, but what he's saying here is there's going to be affliction. It's going to be worse than anything from the beginning of creation. Now, that puts this affliction, these bad things all the way back near the time of creation. Well, why does this matter? Well, humanity was back at the beginning of creation. That's why it matters. We're not talking about affliction between the Tyrannosaurus Rex and the Patasaurus. We're not talking about that kind of affliction. What we're talking about is humanity suffering affliction, and it goes back to the beginning of creation. Another interesting verse would be Luke chapter 11, verse 50. Jesus, again talking, says that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. Now, okay, What are we getting from this verse? Well, we're talking about the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world. Okay, and he's referring to Abel. He was, next verse, it says he's referring to Abel. And Abel was fairly close to the beginning of the creation, the foundation of the world. Now, Jesus would be kind of making a massive stretch here if he's saying that Abel, being millions and millions and millions of years after the foundation, keyword foundation of the world, you can't really place Abel millions and millions and millions of years after the foundation of the world. It just doesn't make sense. I know this verse isn't a slam dunker, but I think it's very suggestive. Again, Jesus believed in a young earth. If he didn't, he wouldn't be placing Abel back at the foundation and not billions of years later. So, a couple more things to note here that I think are interesting. Jesus mentions that he believes the words of Moses. He makes that comment, if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Now, Moses is the guy that wrote, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Moses is also the guy that talks about the global flood, which we'll get into a little bit later, not today, but soon. Jesus treated some other historical things as factual historical events, and they are worth noting here. He treats Adam and Eve as the first married couple. Abel is the first prophet who was killed, and Noah and the flood. That one's big in my book, as we'll get into that a little later. Okay, so what's the moral of the story here? Jesus being the one who, according to John 1:1, was there at the beginning and created the heavens and the earth, right? He also, with his words, makes the earth sound young, okay? He believes in a young earth. So, I ask you, is the Father and is Jesus, or are Jesus, deceiving us and giving us just-so stories to make us go to sleep, to just kind of accept the creation and just kind of, you see what I'm saying? Why would God waste his words? Why would he even give us a goofy little myth story? I thought thou shalt not lie. And if God didn't mean what he said, I think I would equate that to lying. And that doesn't sound like God. Now, someone might be thinking I'm, you know, crying foul right now and saying, no, he's not lying. This is just a figurative story. Well, again, why would God waste his words? I mean, what does it mean? If it's figurative, why has it taken thousands of years for us reading the Bible to still, to date, not come up with a satisfactory answer as to what God's really trying to say? You see what I'm saying? I mean, we're talking about a God that created the heavens and the earth, and he can't write something that us little humans can't understand. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so I'm going to cut it off here. I will get to the science. I know some of you guys are like, I want to see the science. Okay, I will get to that. Probably not tomorrow. In fact, I'm pretty certain I'm not going to get to it a whole lot tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about a few objections that people will bring up, but I will get to the science of this whole thing very soon. Nonetheless, I want to cover the Bible, because the Bible is our foundation. The word says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Another spot the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished or equipped for all good works. Let that sink in. God doesn't mince his words. It's for all doctrine, reproof, instruction, and righteousness. Friends, God does not waste his words. I love you guys. Come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com. Say hi, leave a question. I would love to answer your questions, and I really want to get to know you guys. Also, there is some podcasts on the website that you can't get on Sermon Audio. So one more reason to come out. Look for website exclusive podcast. That's the menu item it's under until I think of something a little more clever and short that I can use for a title. Anyway, love you guys once again, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.